Lesson 3. Outcomes. Describe personal protective equipment ensembles used during hazardous materials incidents. PPE ensembles, classification, and selection. To achieve adequate protection, an ensemble of respiratory equipment and clothing is typically used. When determining the appropriate ensemble, consider the hazards present and the actions that need to be performed. For example, simple protective clothing, such as gloves and a work uniform, in combination with a face shield or safety goggles may be sufficient to prevent exposure to biological hazards such as blood-borne pathogens. At the other end of the spectrum, a vapor protective, total encapsulating suit combined with positive pressure SCBA may be needed when dealing with extremely hazardous, corrosive, and/or toxic vapors or gases, especially if the hazardous materials can damage other types of PPE and readily be absorbed through the skin. The EPA has established a set of chemical protective PPE ensembles providing certain protection levels that are commonly used by fire and emergency service organizations. Other organizations such as law enforcement, industrial responders, and the military may have their own standard operating procedures or equivalent procedures guiding the choice and use of appropriate combinations of PPE. Law enforcement personnel may be equipped with a far different PPE ensemble than a firefighter, hazmat technician, civil support response team, or environmental cleanup person working at the same hazmat/WMD incident. The sections that follow describe a variety of factors concerning PPE ensembles. EPA levels of protection. Originally based on EPA recommendations, different levels of protective equipment are sometimes designated at incidents involving hazardous materials/WMD, level A, level B, level C, and level D. Figures 26.25AD. They can be used as the starting point for ensemble creation. However, each ensemble must be tailored to the specific situation in order to provide the most appropriate level of protection. Selecting protective clothing and equipment by how they are designed or configured is not sufficient to ensure adequate protection at hazmat incidents. Just having the right components to form an ensemble is not enough. The EPA levels of protection do not define or specify what performance, for example, vapor protection or liquid splash protection, the selected clothing or equipment must offer, and they do not identically mirror the performance requirements of NFPA performance standards. Level A. The Level A ensemble provides the highest level of protection against vapors, gases, mists, and particles for the respiratory tract, eyes, and skin. Level A protection provides very little protection against fire. Operations level responders do not typically operate in situations requiring Level A protection. However, you must be appropriately trained to wear Level A PPE if you are required to wear it. Level A. The elements of Level A ensembles are: components. Ensemble requirements include: positive pressure, full face piece, SCBA, or positive pressure airline respirator with escape SCBA approved by NIOSH. Vapor protective suits, totally encapsulated chemical protective, TCP, suits constructed of protective clothing materials that meet the following criteria. Cover the wearer's torso, head, arms, and legs. Include boots and gloves that may either be an integral part of the suit or separate and tightly attached. Enclose the wearer completely by itself or in combination with the wearer's respiratory equipment, gloves, and boots. Provide equivalent chemical resistance protection for all components of a TCP suit, such as relief valves, seams, and closure assemblies. Meet the requirements in NFPA 1991. Coveralls, optional. Long underwear, optional. Chemical-resistant outer gloves. Chemical-resistant inner gloves. Chemical-resistant boots with steel toe and shank. Hard hat, undersuit, optional. Disposable protective suit, gloves, and boots can be worn over totally encapsulating suit, depending on suit construction. Two-way radios, worn inside encapsulating suit. Protection provided. Highest available level of respiratory, skin, and eye protection from solid, liquid, and gaseous chemicals. Use. Level A ensembles are used when risk analysis indicates it is appropriate. For example, Level A protection may be appropriate when site operations and work functions involve a high potential for splash, immersion, or exposure to unexpected vapors, gases, or particulates of material that are harmful to skin or capable of damaging or being absorbed through the intact skin. Level B. Level B protection requires a garment that includes an SCBA or a supplied air respirator and provides protection against splashes from a hazardous chemical. This ensemble is worn when the highest level of respiratory protection is necessary, but a lesser level of skin protection is needed. Level B protection provides very little protection against fire. The Level B CPC ensemble may be encapsulating or non-encapsulating. The elements of Level B ensembles are: Components. Ensemble requirements include: Positive pressure, full facepiece, SCBA, or positive pressure airline respirator with escape SCBA approved by NIOSH. Hooded chemical-resistant clothing that meets the requirements of NFPA 1992, overalls and long-sleeve jacket, coveralls, one- or two-piece, encapsulating or non-encapsulating, chemical splash suit, and disposable chemical-resistant overalls. Coveralls, optional. Chemical-resistant outer gloves. Chemical-resistant inner gloves. Chemical-resistant boots with steel toe and shank. Disposable, chemical-resistant outer boot covers, optional. Hard hat, outside or on top of non-encapsulating suits or under-encapsulating suits. Two-way radios, worn inside encapsulating suit or outside non-encapsulating suit. Face shield, optional. Protection provided. Ensembles provide the same level of respiratory protection as Level A, but have less skin protection. Ensembles provide liquid splash protection, but no protection against chemical vapors or gases. Use. Ensembles may be used in the following situations. Type and atmospheric concentration of substances have been identified and require a high level of respiratory protection but less skin protection. Atmosphere contains less than 19.5% oxygen or more than 23.5% oxygen. Presence of incompletely identified vapors or gases is indicated by a direct reading organic vapor detection instrument, but the vapors and gases are known not to contain high levels of chemicals harmful to skin or capable of being absorbed through intact skin. Presence of liquids or particulates is indicated, but they are known not to contain high levels of chemicals harmful to skin or capable of being absorbed through intact skin. Level C. Level C protection differs from Level B in the area of equipment needed for respiratory protection. Level C is composed of a splash-protecting garment and an air-purifying device, APR or PAPR. Level C protection provides very little protection against fire. Level C protection includes any of the various types of APRs. Periodic air monitoring is required in using this level of PPE. Level C equipment is only used by emergency response personnel under the following conditions. The specific material is known. The specific material has been measured. This protection level is approved by the IC after all qualifying conditions for APRs and PAPRs have been met. The product is known. An appropriate filter is available. The atmospheric oxygen concentration is between 19.5 and 23.5%. The atmosphere is not IDLH. The elements of Level C ensembles are: Components. Ensemble requirements include: Full face or half mask APRs, NIOSH approved. Hooded chemical resistant clothing, overalls, two-piece chemical splash suit, and disposable chemical-resistant overalls. Coveralls, optional. Chemical-resistant outer gloves. Chemical-resistant inner gloves. Chemical-resistant boots with steel toe and shank. Disposable, chemical-resistant outer boot covers, optional. Hard hat. Escape mask, optional. Two-way radios, worn under outside protective clothing. Face shield, optional. Protection provided. Ensembles provide the same level of skin protection as Level B but have a lower level of respiratory protection. Ensembles provide liquid splash protection but no protection from chemical vapors or gases on the skin. Use. Ensembles may be used in the following situations: Atmospheric contaminants, liquid splashes, or other direct contact will not adversely affect exposed skin or be absorbed through any exposed skin. Types of air contaminants have been identified, concentrations have been measured, and an APR is available that can remove the contaminants. All criteria for the use of APRs are met. Atmospheric concentration of chemicals does not exceed IDLH levels. The atmosphere is between 19.5 and 23.5% oxygen. Level D. Level D ensembles consist of typical work uniforms, street clothing, or coveralls. Level D protection can be worn only when no atmospheric hazards exist. The elements of Level D ensembles are: components. Ensemble requirements include: coveralls, gloves, optional, chemical-resistant boots/shoes with steel toe and shank, disposable, chemical-resistant outer boot covers, optional, safety glasses or chemical splash goggles, hard hat, escape device in case of accidental release and the need to immediately escape the area, optional, face shield, optional. Protection provided. Ensembles provide no respiratory protection and minimal skin protection. Use. Ensembles are typically not worn in the hot zone and are not acceptable for hazmat emergency response above the awareness level. Level D ensembles are used when both of the following conditions exist. Atmosphere contains no hazard. Work functions preclude splashes, immersion, or the potential for unexpected inhalation of or contact with hazardous levels of any chemicals. PPE selection factors. The risks and potential hazards present at an incident will determine the PPE needed. Many available sources can be consulted to determine which type and what level of PPE to use at hazmat incidents/terrorist attacks depending on the circumstances and hazards at the scene. SOPs may also provide guidance for situations involving rescue and initial responses. At the operations level, responders must operate under the guidance of allied professionals, hazmat technicians, the emergency response plan, or SOPs. Once the IAP is developed, the site safety plan will spell out PPE requirements for tasks performed at the incident. In general, the higher the level of PPE, the greater the associated risks will be. For any given situation, personnel should select equipment and clothing that provide an adequate level of protection. Overprotection, as well as underprotection, can be hazardous and should be avoided. Determining the PPE level needed to enter the hot zone is ultimately the incident commander's responsibility, but all responders should understand the selection process. Skill Sheet 26-1 provides steps for selecting appropriate PPE at a hazmat incident. Note: many types of PPE do not provide thermal protection. Consider the following general selection factors. Chemical and physical hazards. Consider and prioritize both chemical and physical hazards. Depending on what materials are present, any combination of hazards may need to be protected against. Monitoring and detection readings. Identify hazards that need to be addressed in PPE selection by monitoring and detecting readings. Physical environment. The ensemble components must be appropriate for whatever varied environmental conditions are present. Industrial settings, highways, or residential areas. Indoors or outdoors. Extremely hot or cold environments. Uncluttered or rugged sites. Required activities involving entering confined spaces, lifting heavy items, climbing ladders, or crawling on the ground. Exposure duration. The ensemble component's protective qualities may be limited by many factors including exposure levels, material chemical resistance, and air supply. Assume the worst-case exposure so that appropriate safety margins can be added to the ensemble wear time. Available protective clothing or equipment. An array of different clothing or equipment should be available to personnel to meet all intended applications. Reliance on one particular clothing type or equipment item may severely limit the ability to handle a broad range of hazardous materials or chemical exposures. In its acquisition of equipment and protective clothing, the responsible authority should provide a high degree of flexibility while choosing protective clothing and equipment that is easily integrated and provides protection against each conceivable hazard. Compliance with regulations. agencies responsible for responding to CBR incidents should select equipment in accordance with regulatory standards for response to such incidents, such as NIOSH standards and NFPA 1994. Protective clothing selection factors include the following. Clothing design. Manufacturers sell clothing in a variety of styles and configurations. Design considerations include the following. Clothing configuration. Seam enclosure construction. Components and options. Sizes. Ease of donning and doffing. Clothing construction. Accommodation of other selected ensemble equipment. Comfort. Restriction of mobility. Material chemical resistance. The chosen materials must resist permeation, degradation, and penetration by the respective chemicals. Mixtures of chemicals can be significantly more aggressive towards protective clothing materials than any single chemical alone. One permeating chemical may pull another with it through the material. Other situations may involve unidentified substances. Details. Very little test data are available for chemical mixtures. If clothing must be used without test data, choose clothing that demonstrates the best chemical resistance against the widest range of chemicals. In cases of chemical mixtures and unknowns, serious consideration must be given to selecting protective clothing. Physical properties. Clothing materials may offer wide ranges of physical qualities in terms of strength, resistance to physical hazards, and operation in extreme environmental conditions. Comprehensive performance standards, such as those from NFPA, set specific limits on these material properties, but only for limited applications such as emergency response. Users may also need to ask manufacturers the following questions. Does the material have sufficient strength to withstand the physical demands of the tasks at hand? Will the material resist tears, punctures, cuts, and abrasions? Will the material withstand repeated use after contamination and decontamination? Is the material flexible or pliable enough to allow users to perform needed tasks? Will the material maintain its protective integrity and flexibility under hot and cold extremes? Is the material subject to creation of a static electrical charge and discharge that could provide an ignition source? Is the material flame-resistant or self-extinguishing, if these hazards are present? Are garment seams in the clothing constructed so they provide the same physical integrity as the garment material? Ease of decontamination. The degree of difficulty in decontaminating protective clothing may dictate whether disposable clothing, reusable clothing, or a combination of both is used. Interoperability with other types of equipment. Interoperability issues should be considered, for example, whether or not communications equipment can be integrated into the ensemble. Typical ensembles of response personnel. The ensemble worn at an incident will vary depending on the mission of the responder. PPE for urban search and rescue, USNR, personnel will differ from that of hazmat response teams, and so forth. However, responders of any discipline must be aware of what hazards are present at the incident and what PPE is necessary to protect against the hazards to which they may be exposed. For example, if respiratory hazards exist at the incident, all personnel who might be exposed to these hazards must wear respiratory protection regardless of their mission. It is important that personnel who may need to use such PPE be trained to do so. Fire service personnel will wear ensembles appropriate for their mission at the incident, including typical fire fighting operations, such as fire extinguishment, hazardous materials response, and urban search and rescue, Figure 26.26. Table 26.1 shows a conservative estimate of the effectiveness of typical fire service PPE ensembles in the hot zone of hazmat/WMD incidents. EMS ensembles are described in a later, separate section. The majority of responders will initially be wearing structural fire-fighting protective clothing ensembles, turnout gear, that may offer limited protection against hazmat/WMD hazards. These ensembles may be appropriate for conducting some operations, such as rescue, at hazmat/WMD incidents given appropriate protective measures such as limited exposure times. Responders trained to use CPC at hazmat events may don EPA Level A or B ensembles as described in previous sections. Chemical protective ensembles must be designed to protect the wearer's upper and lower torso, head, hands, and feet. Ensemble elements must include protective garments, protective gloves, and protective footwear. Ensembles must accommodate appropriate respiratory protection.